Hey, thanks for joining us. Let's start off with a quick game. What do you see here? Now what do you see? If you said a circle with a dot in it, this message is for you. Welcome and thank you for joining us. My name is James Bradley. I'm the pastor of First Free Will Baptist Church here in Morehead City, North Carolina. Today we're going to be talking about a negative bias. Many studies have shown that a lot of people have this negative bias. And that is when we look at a new situation, when we meet somebody new, when we have a new job, when we have a new thing happen in our life, we always see it in a negative light. Let me remind you of our introduction. Do you remember the circle with the dot in it? How many of us, when we made that statement, our eyes were drawn to the dot, the one blemish in the circle? We didn't see the 99% clean circle, and we didn't say that. We said that there was something that was normal, and now it's not. We looked at the deficiency, we looked at the negative side. Our negative bias came out. Why is it that we do stuff like that? Why is it that we have a negative bias toward new things, and how does that implement our spiritual lives? Today, I would like us to go in Acts chapter 9, where we talk about Paul, and we talk about the people that he's reaching, and the people that have already accepted the message of Christ and are helping him. These three characters play a big part of how the Bible associates with us, so we're going to be looking at those three characters today. Acts chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 18, says, "And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name of in Jerusalem, and came hither for the intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, but their lying in wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, and let him down by the wall in a basket." Verse 26 says, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple." To get the most out of this text and out of the sermon, let's look at the characters as a whole and see how it pertains to us. We have three characters, the first being Paul, the second being the disciples, and the third being Paul's mission, these religious leaders, these Pharisees, and even some of the other disciples. We see Paul as an individual who wants to win the others for Christ. He wants to promote his conversion. He wants to promote the God of his salvation. But there is a group of people who refuse to accept Paul and to accept his past. We see this as our first negative bias. As an individual who wants to benefit us, we immediately think that nobody wants to benefit us without there being a curve or without there being something that benefits them as well. We always think that somebody's trying to get a hold of us, but that's not always true. You see, the Bible tells us to bless even our enemies. And not for any other reason, not because we get blessed, not because of anything else, but because God commands it and we are called to be a blessing. The second character we see is the disciples, and we'll talk more about them later. And the third one, Paul's mission, these individuals who Paul wants to teach and preach and convert and actually reemphasize that he is who he says he is, it is these individuals, we'll just call them Paul's mission. You see, Paul's a pretty nice guy, writing 2/3 of the New Testament, planting more churches than anyone else in the New Testament, an incredible act of a devout man for God. But that didn't come without conflict. You see, Paul made lots of enemies before he got saved. And even after he got saved, Paul made a lot of enemies then. You see, a lot of people wanted to put out Paul. They wanted to snuff him out. They wanted Paul to be quiet and to not promote the Christ that he loved so much. For us to get a lot out of what these characters mean to us, we have to put ourselves in where we stand. So when it comes down to a new thing, I want us to understand that we're not all the good guy, the bad guy. As Christian people, we are not stationary in one of these three characters. We're not always Paul, we're not always the disciple, and we're not always the one, the mission. We're not the ones that are always keeping people back. But I do want us to recognize that when we do stand in one of these places, it causes us to understand how we're supposed to act. If we're busy pushing people away, if we're busy not believing people, if we're busy holding things off at arm's distance, then I recognize that we have to swing back to the idea that we need to be more like Paul. And when Paul, being that individual, the one that does everything right, the one that puts his faith out there in the open, the one that tries everything, the one that really promotes Christ to the best of his ability, know this, that there are going to be people who hurt us. There are going to be people who challenge us. And then there's the disciples. We'll get to them in a minute. Trust me, it's one of my favorite parts of this message. Please hold on to the end for it. Let's start with what we talked about earlier, having a negative bias. We see this as the mission place there in Damascus. We also see that in Jerusalem with the disciples. People who did not believe Paul. People who did not trust him. People that knew his past and knew who he was. And there's one thing that we've got to learn, and I mentioned this in the previous sermons, but I want to reemphasize this. People can change, especially when God is intervening. People can change. No matter what it is and what they're struggling with, no matter who they were in the past, God can make them change. It's a wonderful thing for us to be reminded of that we're never stationary in the bad. We're never going to be in the dark forever. There's always a hope to be had. The second thing I like us to talk about when it comes to this is like people do change, but there's more so than that. I want us to recognize that you're not an evil person, you know, because you think negatively. We see the people that he's preaching to in Damascus, and we see them keeping Paul at arm's distance saying, listen, is this not the individual that came to kill us? Is this not the individual who sought to, you know, destroy everything in his path to bring Christians over there? I'm not going to accept Paul in. And then we see it again with the disciples at Jerusalem. This is the core group. This is the hierarchy of the disciples at this moment. You know, these are the greatest Christians that have ever been documented. And they're keeping Paul at arm's distance. They're saying, you need to step back. I don't believe you. And they had this inner fear that was in them. The Bible teaches us that we should be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. It is not wrong to be defensive, and it's not wrong to think negative. The idea there is that there is some truth to saying, hey, I don't want to get damaged, and we don't want to get hurt, and we don't want, you know, to have this pain in my life, so I'm keeping these things at arm's length and at arm's distance. That's not a bad thing. It's a very defensive thing, and you should not be ashamed of being like that. But let me say this also. By accepting in the change, by accepting in people, we recognize that God can do great things. When we keep things at arm's distance, we can never see the blessings of God in other people's lives. When we push ourselves, ostracize ourselves from everybody else, the blessings of God stay distant. But if we'll let people in, if we'll show people the Christ that lives in us, we will be able to see the Christ that lives in them. Which brings me to the most practical part I think I've encountered in my ministry. It's okay to let people in. It's okay to hear them, and it's okay to dive into their lives and to find out their hobbies and to find out their likes and dislikes. It's okay to hear them talk about the blessings of God, and it's okay for you to talk about the blessings of God. Don't be scared at the fact that this is all new to you and that you're not a preacher, so you're not going to preach Jesus. Don't say that. You know, bless God, preach God, promote God, and all the things that he's done in your life, and let other people, provoke them unto good things too, provoke them unto righteousness, provoke them unto good works is what the Bible teaches us. You should want and the desire to have God be a blessing, not only to them, but to you as well. Do not be afraid to let people in. And don't be afraid that they're not going to be perfect, because they're not. The idea there is that we accept people for who they are and we give them the chances to do good. Let's look at this scenario through Paul's perspective. See, Paul's mission has always been to gain the lost, to gain those people who've put out at arm's distance. He wants to unite everyone. He wants to bring everybody closer to God. He is a prophet to the Jews, but to the Gentiles first. There's an incredible thing that we need to remember here, is that Paul's mission didn't start off that great. Matter of fact, his whole goal was communication. His whole goal was preaching. He wanted to be a blessing to those, and he wanted to promote Christ wherever he went. But that wasn't accepted by everybody. Know this, that in Paul's light, and the way that he sees things, he's doing the things that God asked him to do, and it's not working. Everybody's keeping him at arm's distance. They're always bringing up his past. They're always bringing up who he was. And they never see Paul for who he is at that moment. Here's one of the things that we learn as Christians. It takes time to develop in the eyes of other people. There's this ethical perception that is done with people. They're only going to remember what you did, never what you're doing. Our mission is to make the world a better place. Is the world evil? Absolutely. Is there things that are fighting each other? Is there bitterness and hatred and rage and evil all in this world? Absolutely. And that's going to take time. It takes good people persistently and consistently. It takes good people consistently doing good for us to recognize the good that is in the world. We don't need to be under the influence of all the negative that's around us. We need to be the positive that this world needs. You see, Paul had a whole baggage. He had skeletons in his closet over and over and over again. They were literally falling out of the door when he opened it. But the issue was, is he was not that person anymore, and it's going to take time for people to see that. What makes this such a incredible thing for us to remember is that communication is essential for two parties to come together. You see, Paul's communication was consistent at this point. From this point on, Paul was an incredible individual who wanted to promote God. He never once wavered from that point on, but it gives us the reason that everybody else didn't know that. See, we have foresight. We understand where Paul is going and what Paul is doing, but the disciples and the people in Damascus did not. But communication is always two parts. It is the constant communication of the speaker, and there always has to be a listener. It's okay to keep people at arm's length, but listen and understand and take heart of the things that they're saying. Listen and hear. There's an old illustration that my pastor used to tell us. He says, God gave us two ears and one mouth, so we should listen more than we talk. The idea there is, it is true that listening is part of communicating. We have to hear what the other person's saying, not just in word, but in action. And always assume that God is doing something. Never keep people at so odds. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that we need to be believers of all things. If we love people, it says love is this understanding that if we are called to love, and it says that lovers should be believers of all things, knowing that God is doing the work. We shouldn't be pushovers or gullible, but we should be attentive. We should be wanting, desiring the good to be in people. I ask you that in this time, if there's any better time to practice communicating, it's right now. When we're so divisive, when we're so distant, when everybody's doing their own thing, it is imperative that you and I practice communicating. And that's just not talking. Not talking to be heard like the world promotes us when we have social media and we have all these things and opinions that people think they need to be heard. What we need to start practicing now is learning how to listen. Learning how to be a benefit. Learning how to understand the things that are going on around us. Which brings me to my last point about the true hero in this text. I don't think that the true hero is Paul. Paul allows us to see what it means to be determined in what God's called us to do and what he asked us to do. What Paul teaches us here is that we consistently, even through the hardships that we face, even through all the difficulties we face, we continue to be good. And to me, I just don't see any other better message that needs to be stated than that right here. But the true heroes in this text are the ones that listen, these disciples. Look back with me in our text. In Acts chapter 9, verse 23, he says, "And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. And there lying await was known of Saul," or Paul, "and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket." You see, what we see here is Paul preaching and all the days that had been fulfilled, all the time that he'd spent there, those that listened, those that understood that Paul had received sight, who had received strength, who received salvation from God, they were going to help Paul. They were going to help Paul live and go to the next town and go to the next town and go to the next place so that he could preach the gospel. Those that listened, those that helped, those are the true heroes of this text. Not the ones that stuck out at hand's distance and not the ones that were defensive, but those that let Paul in. Those that wanted hope, those that wanted things to be better, those who wanted change, those were the true heroes. If there was anything that this world needs, it needs an army of believers in hope, believers in love, believers in change. I encourage you, you may not be the Paul. And it's okay if you're the person who's keeping things at an arm's distance so you don't get hurt. But I promise you, if everybody would understand the role of the disciples at Damascus at this point, and they would recognize what it means to benefit and to help for good, what an amazing world this would be. See, not only did they accept Paul, but they protected Paul and they uplifted him. You may not be the one that are called to put your faith out there, and the ones that will be bombarded with doubt and criticism. But you can be the one that supports those that do. What an incredible thing. Now listen, no matter where you're at in this world, I want you to know something right now. If you're a believer, if you attend church, if you listen to videos, if you listen to sermons wherever you go, if you want God to do a blessing in your life, do this for me. Pray for your pastor. What an amazing thing to recognize the power and influence that these believers had in Paul's life, these disciples. You know, when even the 12 disciples, those that were in Jerusalem, the high council disciples, even when they were keeping Paul at arm's distance, they were those that laid down their lives to protect Paul. You know, title and limelight is not everything. The greatest people that were in this text were those that helped Paul. Those that believed. Those that had hope. If there is one person that I would like you to be today, it's that individual. It's that person who believes on a better tomorrow. That person that believes that God can change people. That person who believes that there is something to be had, something to be gained in this world, and God is constantly doing the work in people's lives. If there's a challenge for us to be made with listening and learning from the others, these disciples, it would be that one, we need to listen. We need to listen when God is speaking, and we need to listen to the people who promote good. You see, Paul never promoted hatred. He never promoted war. He never promoted hiding. He always promoted standing strong on his faith. And listen, that was a good thing. And these people listened. Not only did they listen, but they did. They heard and they protected and they lived it. There's one thing that's way more important than listening to a message. It's living it. It's allowing those seeds of the gospel, those seeds of truth, be put into our hearts, and that we would be challenged and changed, and that we would grow as people in love and mercy and in grace. If we would listen and do, what an amazing task we have ahead of us. Think of all the good that we could do. Think of all the lives that can be changed if we would just let people in, and that we would be a blessing unto them. And the latter part of that, in keeping on to this notion, think about what imagine if they had listened but not helped.
They laid down their lives. They put their lives at risk, just as Paul, to get him out of the city, to protect him. They were at every gate looking for Paul, but yet these people lowered him down off the wall in a basket so that he could be safe. What an amazing thing when a people want to help get the gospel out. I encourage you to invest yourself into your churches. Invest in the gospel, getting into your church's families, into your towns, into your states, and even into the uttermost parts of the world, because there is a gospel that is good that will bring us together and allow us to do such great things if we're willing to help.